Amen. I ask you to take your Bible and turn with me to Genesis 39 tonight. Genesis 39. While you're finding your place, I want to quote again the theme verse for today. We've not turned to it, but it's still our theme of the day, and that's Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In the book of Genesis, we have the story of many people. We have the story of the beginning of mankind, the beginning of the world. Throughout the Bible, you have the stories of many people, the biographies of many people. One of the longest biographies in the Bible is the biography of Joseph. Jesus, of course, but I meant to say Joseph. And Joseph is an unusual character. Of the men, of course, not referring to the Lord, but of the men whose biographies appear in the Bible, there are really only two about whom nothing negative is ever said. And that would be Daniel and Joseph. Now, does that mean they were perfect? Certainly not. But it does mean they were men who loved the Lord and served the Lord and walked with him, and men whom the Lord used greatly. So I want to look at one part of Joseph's life here in chapter 39. As I mentioned this morning, three times in this chapter, three times you find the word, and the Lord was with Joseph. Look at verse 1, if you will. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, I want you to notice that phrase, the beginning of verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. And he was. The Lord was with Joseph. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Pray that you'll teach us and guide us tonight. Forgive us anything that would stand in the way of your moving and working. And cause us, Lord, to be people who are dedicated to you, people who love you, people who want to serve you. Now, Lord, again, by your Spirit, speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to make a statement. God's purposes are not always evident to us, but they are always God's purposes. Let me say that again. I want you to get hold of that. God's purposes are not always evident to us, but they are his purposes. I heard and read a quote, and heard it attributed to Charles Spurgeon. There's some things that I think were attributed to Charles Spurgeon that I don't think he ever actually said, or at least not in the words that they're given. So this may be his quote. I've not heard it to be anybody else's. But it's a simple quote, but think about it. The quote says, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. Now get that. When you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. That's the same thing that I just said to you in different words, different way of expressing it. God's purposes are not always evident to us, but they are always his purposes. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he understood the things that were about to happen to him. His disciples did not. They had no idea, though he had told them and taught them and prepared them. You read John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, he's preparing them for all of this. And it still came as a surprise to them. Things that you and I can never understand, he understood. In the way of suffering, he understood the suffering that was about to come. We didn't. We don't. We probably wouldn't had we been one of the 12. And yet he was surrendered to his Father's will. Listen to Matthew 26:42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Let me repeat that one. If this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And if we were to had been with the 12 that night after the prayer time in the garden, when those officers came and arrested the Lord, when they took him and turned him over to first Herod and then the Romans, the high priest and Herod, then the Romans, back to Herod, back to the Romans, we would not have thought that God was in that at all. We would probably have cried out, where is God in all of this? We might not have seen it. We probably wouldn't have seen it. But God was in every step of it. Joseph's story gives us a clear teaching on how to live a life of surrender to God's will. Start again in verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him. Can you imagine being a person that some other person can buy? I'm going to share with you another famous quote, and I have researched this one as to its source. It might surprise you. It's not my goal to shock you or surprise you. I just want to share with you a good quote. The quote is this: I cannot conceive of the idea that one man should be able to own another. Get hold of that. I cannot conceive of the idea that one man should be able to own another. Here's what's going to shock you. Do you know who said that? That was Robert E. Lee, the famous Confederate general. Say, well, I thought he was fighting for slavery. You thought wrong. If you look at his life, he was not fighting for slavery. He was fighting for the state of Virginia. Virginia had seceded from the Union, and he did not, and he was asked by President Lincoln to lead the Union Army, and Lee didn't feel that he could fight against his home. It's that simple. Now, I'm not here to give you a history lesson about that. I'm here to help you understand some things. Here's the idea. Potiphar bought Joseph, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. Well, what was he doing in the hands of the Ishmaelites? Well, they bought him. From whom did they buy him? Joseph's brothers. So twice now he's been sold into slavery. And we know that all things work together for good. Doesn't say everything's going to be good. Doesn't say everything that happens is going to be good. It says things work together, creating a pattern, creating a pathway for good that will come. So the Egyptian bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither, brought him to Egypt. And by the way, just a little something to help you in your Bible study. This is not our main theme tonight by any means, but notice they brought him down thither. They brought him down to Egypt. In the Bible, no matter where you're coming from or where you're going, if you're going to Jerusalem, you are always going up to Jerusalem, or you're coming down from Jerusalem. But in the Bible, as you read it, if you're going to Egypt, you are always going down into Egypt or coming up from Egypt. Isn't that something? That'll help you a little bit in your Bible study, that little fact. Verse 2, and this is our theme tonight, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, Potiphar, we're told, is an officer in Pharaoh's army. He is a man of importance and doubtless a man of wealth. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Potiphar, the Egyptian, the officer in Pharaoh's army, saw that the Lord was with Joseph. Did Potiphar know the Lord? Well, I'm not sure that he did. Not many Egyptians would have. But Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph and made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Pharaoh saw that the Lord made everything Joseph did to prosper. Now, keep that in perspective. Joseph is now working for Potiphar, and everything Joseph does prospers. Potiphar likes this, but Joseph is still a slave. He's not free. Then we go to verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight. Whose sight? Potiphar's. Joseph found grace in Potiphar's sight. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he did what? Served him. Joseph served Potiphar. And Potiphar made him, Joseph, overseer over his house, and all that he had was put in his hand. Potiphar is a busy man. He's an officer in the army. He's taking care of the military affairs. He has a house. He probably has other servants besides Joseph. It's evident later in the text. But he doesn't worry about anything at home. He doesn't worry about whether things are taken care of. He doesn't worry about whether things are done right. He doesn't worry about whether things are the way they ought to be. Why? Joseph's there. And he wholly trusts Joseph. Why? Well, the answer is back in verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, look at verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and knew not aught that he had. He didn't call anything to an account. He didn't even know how much money he had. He didn't know how much wealth he had. He didn't know if he had livestock, how many he had. He trusted all that to Joseph. Joseph will take care of it. He left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. He knew that. He knew about the food he got. He had no inventory taken. Joseph would do that. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Now, that sounds like part of the blessing of God, and it is. But what that means, Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored, means he was a handsome young man. I've seen drawings and paintings of Joseph. Of course, none of them were done by anybody who ever saw Joseph. And in the drawings and paintings, he's got a large beard. Did he have a large beard? I don't know. That's the way they draw him and paint him. But it says that he was a goodly man and well-favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph. Potiphar's out serving in the army. His wife, Mrs. Potiphar, is there. Why do you call her Mrs. Potiphar? Because we don't know her name. She's there, and she looks at Joseph, this handsome young man, serving around there. And she said, "Lie with me." Now, remember, Joseph is still a slave. For all of his authority that he has, he's still a slave. And I'm assuming that she assumed that because she was Potiphar's wife, he would have to obey her desires and her command. Notice the first three words of verse 8. But he refused. He refused. Now, why did he refuse? Didn't he know that this was his master's wife? Didn't he remember that he was a slave? Didn't he think that he should obey her command? He knew all of that, but he also knew that what she wanted him to do was wrong. And Joseph stood for what was right. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not, does not know what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in his house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You know what Joseph's saying? He's saying, "I have to refuse. Your husband, Potiphar, trusts me. He trusts me with everything he has, and he's given me charge of everything he has except you. He hasn't given me that. And if I do what you're asking, I will have sinned against Potiphar, and I will have sinned against God. Now, you understand something. The law wasn't given yet. Moses wouldn't be born for hundreds of years after this. There are no Ten Commandments. There is no commandment that says thou shalt not commit adultery. None of that is in writing yet. But Joseph still knew that it was wrong. He knew the Lord, and he knew enough about the Lord, and he knew enough about right and wrong to say, I can't do this. I'll be a traitor to Potiphar. I'll be a traitor to God. I can't do it. Verse 10, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, she's persistent. Came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her. He didn't listen to her. What did he do? He went about his business, doing the work that he was supposed to do. Well, he must have been making a lot of money. No, remember, he's a slave. Potiphar's making a lot of money, most likely, because of Joseph. Joseph isn't making a lot of money. But he knows what's right and wrong. He hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house. Look at the next four words. To do his business. What did he do? He goes in there to do what? To do something wrong? No. To sin? No. He goes in there to take care of his master's business. To do his job, to do the thing that he was supposed to do. He's still not being paid. He's still not set free. And he never will be set free from Potiphar's house. And he knows that. But he's going to take care of his master's business. There's a picture there for all of us. There's a picture there for all of us to take care of the things that we're supposed to take care of and to do the things that we're supposed to do, whether it is for our benefit or someone else's. Verse 11 again, it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. If Joseph made a mistake, that was it. To go in when none of the other men were in the house. Who were these other men? Servants also. Did Mrs. Potiphar go after them? We're not told. We don't know if she did or didn't. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter for the sake that this story is about Joseph and what he did. And he did right no matter what those other men did or would have done. Verse 12, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Even when we honor the Lord in our life, temptation comes to everybody. Temptation came to Joseph. He was tempted. He was a young man. He was tempted. There's no question about that. But we need to honor the Lord in our life. Even when others we respect and those around us are centered upon themselves and only upon themselves. I'm sure he treated Mrs. Potiphar with the respect that he should have given the position. But she was entirely selfish. Was she concerned about being right with God? Obviously not. Was she concerned with honoring her husband? Obviously not. Maybe she thought, well, nobody will know. But folks never think that. Never think, I'm going to do this thing and nobody will know. There are at least two people who know. First of all, God will know. And secondly, you will know. Potiphar's wife was not an honorable woman. So Joseph resisted the temptation. He understood the trust that Potiphar had placed in him. And Joseph was a believer in the Lord, but he was in a strange land. Why was he in that strange land? Well, Potiphar bought him. Why did he buy him? Because the Ishmaelites brought him there. Why'd they bring him there? Because they bought him and they saw him as a piece of property that they could sell and make a profit. See, that sounds kind of blunt when you put it that way. Well, that's how it was. They didn't buy Joseph because he was a handsome young man. They didn't buy Joseph because they wanted him to join their band. They didn't buy Joseph. They didn't care the fact that he was a distant relative. What do you mean a distant relative? Well, the Ishmaelites are descendants of Abraham. And Joseph's family was descended from Abraham. So they are distant relatives. That didn't matter. What mattered to the Ishmaelites was that they could get a profit off of this young man. That's what mattered to them. What mattered to his brothers? Well, were they interested in a profit? I'm sure they divided up the money among themselves. But that's not why they sold Joseph. They sold Joseph to get rid of him. They didn't like him. They didn't want him there. They got rid of him. They were going to kill him. Had not one of the brothers spoken up and said, "Guys, don't do this. This is wrong. Don't kill him." And so instead of murdering him, they decided to sell him. But Joseph now is in a strange land where most of the people are not believers. Most of the people there don't know the Lord. Most of the people there likely never heard of the Lord. They had their gods and goddesses whom they worshiped. But Joseph still understood that his actions affected his testimony before the Lord. And he understood that what he did affected the people around him. He knew that if he was conquered by this temptation, it would not only be a sin against Potiphar, it would be a sin against Potiphar's wife, who was tempting him. But it would have been a sin against her, and it would have been a sin against every other person who knew or heard about it. And it would be a sin against God himself. Chapter 39, Genesis 39. Joseph was steadfast in his resistance to the temptation. Day after day, she came to him, day after day. His one mistake, if he made a mistake, was to place himself in an area of question. He didn't do anything wrong. It's important to note here that Joseph was not doing anything wrong. As we said, he's doing his job. But it would have been wise for him. It would have been wise for him to have other men in the house, particularly when the situation was one where evil intent had already been displayed. He already knew the evil that was there. Verse 13 again, and it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth. Then she called unto the men of her house, those fellows who should have been there. Where were they? Well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say they were taking care of some matter outside the house. There could be other reasons why they weren't there. But then she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he," talking about her husband, "he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out." Now, what is that? That's a lie. That's a lie. Do people ever lie to cover up their own intent, their own sin? Of course they do. Do people ever get angry at somebody else and make up lies about them? Yes, they do. Mrs. Potiphar did both. She lied to cover up her own sin. She lied because she's angry with Joseph now. "Well, he's not going to do what I want him to do. I'll fix him." And she did. It was a lie. Verse 16, and she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. She put it up in a place. She thinks, "I got something to show Potiphar when he comes in." Verse 17, and she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant. I can imagine how she said it, the Hebrew servant, with disgust in her voice. The Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, she never, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife. Now, stop right there. Potiphar trusted her. She was his wife. He trusted her. It's going to be her word against Joseph. Who's he going to believe? He's going to believe his wife. Well, which one was the liar? She was. Potiphar doesn't want to think of his wife as being a liar. He doesn't want to think ill about her. He doesn't want to think she's gone behind his back and that she's tried to do evil in his own house when he was gone. He doesn't think that way. He was, we've learned already in the chapter, he was a trusting man. 19 again, it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake, she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Now, I think that's an interesting way. It's not the only time you read this in the Old Testament. You read about the Lord himself. His wrath was kindled. What does that mean? Well, wrath is anger, but it's not just anger. It's hot anger. And kindled, what does it do to kindle? It is you start a fire. His wrath was fired up. His anger was fired up. I can imagine his thought processes. I brought this man into my house. I trusted him. I saw the favor of God was upon him. And this is how he repays me? Now, Joseph was innocent of it all. He hadn't done anything. But he was accused. And one of the things we learn from this story is not the main thing in the story, but it's one thing that we need to understand as Christians. When you hear an accusation against a brother, don't believe it immediately. Try to verify it. Try to check it out. Now, I've seen that go more than one way. I've known Christians, fellow Christians, who were accused of things, doing things wrong, and I investigated and I found out it wasn't true. It wasn't true. They didn't do the thing. In one case that I can think of, they weren't even in the place at the time that they were alleged to have done something wrong. But the other side of that coin is this. Sometimes I've heard of somebody, a brother or sister, doing something wrong, and I investigated and found out it was true. They did it. That's never, never a good feeling. It's never a good experience to find that out. But Potiphar, I don't think, did any investigation. I think he trusted his wife, and he took his word for it, and he believed her. So verse 20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. Now, how do you think that legal process worked where he put him into prison? I think it worked this way. He's an officer in Pharaoh's army. He took him to the prison and said, lock him up. I think it was that. I don't think there was any trial. I don't think there was any debate about it. Joseph, no opportunity to defend himself. If General Potiphar comes, and colonel or whatever he was, and says, put this man in prison, they're going to put him in there. For how long? Forever. 20 again, and Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Watch the next verse very carefully. But the Lord was with Joseph. Back in the early part of the chapter, in verse 2, when Joseph has been sold to Potiphar by the people who bought him from his brothers, in verse 2 it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. And now that Joseph is falsely accused and put into prison for a crime that he did not commit, what do we read again? And the Lord was with Joseph. Nobody else was with Joseph. Potiphar had been a great fan of Joseph, if you will. He thought very highly of him, but he doesn't anymore. Mrs. Potiphar sure didn't think much of Joseph. The fellow slaves who weren't there, they probably don't think much of Joseph. And if Joseph comes in, I don't imagine the other prisoners looked at him and said, oh, there's Joseph. Well, he's a good guy. No, they probably thought, what'd he do wrong? He did something just like the rest of us. And so he's here. But the Lord was with Joseph. Now, before we finish this chapter, let me help you with something. I told you our theme today is Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who them are called according to his purpose. And if you're Joseph at this point in your life, you're probably thinking nothing's going well. He had been at home, and he was his father's favorite son. And the Lord had revealed to Joseph through a dream that he was going to be a man of importance and prominence. But the prospect of that happening doesn't look very good right now. When his brothers hated him and they sold him like a piece of property, and the Ishmaelites didn't care about him, he didn't matter to them, except as a way to make money. When he was in Potiphar's house and he was a slave, he could easily have said, you know, that dream I had, I thought was from the Lord, that I would one day be a man of great prominence. I would one day be ruling over my brothers. It must have been a terrible nightmare that I had. Sure doesn't look like it's true. We don't know how many years Joseph was in Potiphar's house, but he was not a young boy at this point. Must have looked to Joseph like all is lost. And no doubt in his mind, he's thinking, I've been faithful. And he had. I've been faithful to the Lord. And he had. I've been faithful to my master. And he had. I've been faithful to my character and my personal testimony, and he had. And look what it's gotten me. Slavery and then prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Just like he had favor in Potiphar's eyes. And the keeper of the prison release Joseph. Is that what it says in your Bible? No, it's not what it says at all. But Joseph found favor in his eyes. He did. But the keeper of the prison didn't release him. He didn't say, Joseph, you know, you're such a good guy. I can see that you were falsely accused. And you know what? I'm gonna arrange it so you can be released. He didn't do that. Verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was a doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. And here it is again, the last verse of the chapter. Because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. Now we're going to stop the story there. Just want to review some things with you, and we'll close tonight. Joseph had been steadfast in his resistance to temptation, but he suffered the penalty of it anyway, as if he had given in to the temptation, except in the eyes of the Lord. In the eyes of the Lord knew he was still innocent, and the Lord still blessed him. When the situation came where the evil intent had been obvious, Joseph fled. Paul would write to Timothy more than 1,000 years later, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, 2 Timothy 2:22. You know, Joseph did that. He never heard of Paul. He never read any of the New Testament. hadn't been written. But he did all of that. And I want to share something with you to help you. When someone is angry with you or they're envious of you, it is not unusual for them to lie or to exaggerate facts to cause other people to think badly of you, to tear you down in the sight of others, especially if you're a person who is highly thought of. It is also not unusual for people to believe the accusations if they know that the accused person has been of good character. Well, I never thought he would do that. You know, he was good. He had us all convinced that he was a good guy. And we all looked up to him and we trust him. But look what he's done now. Boy, I should have known it. He was too good to be true. You think people look at folks like that? Absolutely. Absolutely. But the last few verses of this chapter teach us that even when mankind is against us, even when we're treated unfairly, God has not forsaken us. The Lord was with Joseph. He's always with his children, even when things are going wrong. And the Lord showed mercy to Joseph. The Lord gave him favor with the keeper of the prison. And when it seems that everything and everyone is against us, the Lord is still with us. You trust in him. He does not, and hear me, he does not always keep us from trouble. Well, if the Lord loves me, if he's with me, why would I ever have a problem? Well, remember, God's purpose is there even when you can't see it. He does not always keep us from trouble, but he is always with us. Because Joseph wanted to please the Lord, he was trustworthy and dependable. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And like Potiphar before him, the keeper of the prison trusted Joseph so completely that he worried about nothing. I can sleep well tonight. Joseph's going to take care of it. Because the Lord was with Joseph, the jailer's work prospered. Others often reap the benefits of being associated with godly people. Let me repeat that for you. Others often reap the benefits of being associated with godly people. So the primary goal of the child of God is to be like Jesus. It's necessary to bear in mind that we always live a life that is a good testimony for the Lord because we love the Lord. But when we do that, not everybody else is always going to like us. There may be times when people get angry with us or envious of us or just hate us. There may be times when we will have trouble. But two points to remember. Number one, God has a purpose for our life. And we know that all things work together for good. Not everything's good, but all things work together for good. Not to everyone, but to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. And just as we read about Joseph, even when things are wrong, when we're falsely accused, when we're ill-treated, when somebody else uses us for their profit and our expense, the Lord is still with us. Now, you know much of the rest of the story. Joseph eventually gets out of prison. He had a life sentence, but he eventually gets out of prison. And he becomes the second in command for all Egypt. Like he was the second in command at Potiphar's house, like he was the second command in the prison, he's the second command in all Egypt. And because of that, he saves his family from starvation. And eventually, his brothers come before him, and they have to ask him for the help they need. And when he reveals himself to them, they didn't recognize him at first. Understand, they hadn't seen him in decades. He didn't look the same as the last time they saw him. And they said, he's going to kill us. For what we did to him, he's going to kill us. And do you remember Joseph, what he said to them? He said to them, you meant it to me for evil. Make no mistake about it, they meant it to him for evil. But God meant it for good. Being sold twice as a slave is not good. Being falsely accused and serving in prison for years is not good. But God took it and turned it to good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, Joseph did, to them who are called according to his purpose, and Joseph was. You be encouraged by that. You draw strength from that. The Lord was with Moses. The Lord was with Joshua. But they'll come later. The Lord was with Joseph. We mentioned this morning when Joshua took over and filled in the role of Moses. Do you know what God said to Joshua? You read it in Joshua chapter 1. He said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Can you imagine? What a promise. The way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he'll be with you. Father, thank you. Thank you that we are together here tonight. Thank you that we're coming to this time when we remember the cross and your love for us and your resurrection. And all of it you did out of your great love for us. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, help us as we come to this time to reflect on your goodness towards us, to rejoice in your love towards us, and to be reminded that you love us and gave yourself for us, and that we need to grow to be like you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation, because the Bible tells us that when we come to the Lord's table, we need to come with a clean heart. Anything's between your soul and the Savior. As we sing this hymn, this is your opportunity to get things right. Father, bless and move in this invitation, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.